Welcome to another edition of the Volunteer State. I'm Blake Topmeyer with the Knoxville News Sentinel alongside our charismatic columnist, John Adams. John, how's it going?
It's going great. Book sales are going well on that second book. I've been really encouraged. It was a slow start because of COVID, but I'm kicking COVID's butt right now.
Yeah, two-time published author now. I've read the first book. What is the title of the second one, though?
The first book was Carry On Like You Live.
Right.
The second one, I'm still playing off that title, was Still Carrying On. The first book on the cover showed a picture of me and my in a soapbox. I finished third in a soapbox derby. I was about, 12 years old, maybe 11. And the new book has a current picture of me. The town's a lot older and it's not doing as well as it was when I was young. But
it's still carrying on.
It's still carrying on, and that's what's got. And my next book is going to be on the town. It's going to be Carrying On When It's Gone.
Okay.
Because
it's a trilogy.
Kind of going by the wayside, yeah. Mm-hmm. It won't be as upbeat as the last two, so we'll see.
With a title like that, no doubt. Speaking of still carrying on, Tennessee is carrying on and is about 2 weeks away now, a little less than 2 weeks away from the start of spring practice. And normally I know you and I are not real upbeat for spring practice, although we maybe slightly put it ahead of things like pro day, but that ranks near the bottom of the barrel. But anyway, I think spring practice this year holds a little bit more intrigue than usual for a couple of reasons. Number one, new coaching staff, new system, and Josh Heupel's offensive system is fairly unique and is about a 180 degree change from what Tennessee was doing before. But then on top of that, John, is I think this is the most open Tennessee's quarterback competition has been in several years, certainly since the time I've been on the beat, which was the 2017 season. I know you've been on Vol football for 65. Are you celebrating your 65th season on the Vols?
You're a little short on that one, Blake. I was. Okay. I started here, and I guess it was 1910.
1910, about 111th season.
It's been a while.
Well, anyway, this probably isn't the most open quarterback competition you recall, but for me, in my now five seasons on the beat, it'll be the most open quarterback competition since I've been here. And not only is it, I feel like, open, John, there are more than just a couple options. You know, going into the 2018 season, Jeremy Pruitt's first season, you had what was thought to be kind of a two-horse race between Jarrett Garantano and Keller Crist. But it was just those two guys, really. We knew JT Schrout wasn't going to win the competition. And really, I don't know that Keller Crist was really strongly considered for that job. But in this case, Tennessee's got four scholarship quarterbacks who are going to be going through spring practice. Graduate transfer, Hendon Hooker, returners, Harrison Bailey, and Brian Maurer. And then freshman, January early enrollee, and Caden Salter. So all four of those guys will be battling for their spots on the depth chart this spring. And I think that's one of the top storylines of Josh Heupel's first spring practice. John, early impression, I mean, it's not like we've seen these guys in practice, but just what you know about them, what you know about Heupel, et cetera, who do you like as the favorite for this competition?
Well, I think it'll be a close call. But I really think Kadon Salter is ideally suited for this offense. He just started here as a freshman, so he's getting the same start all the other guys are with the new offense. However, I think Harrison Bailey will start this season. He will begin the season as a starting quarterback. He started several games at the end of last year. I thought he picked things up very well. I thought he had a lot of poise. He was accurate. We look at Heupel's quarterbacks, and they've been athletic in their run, but it's not like he doesn't want a guy that can throw the ball.
Right.
I think a lot of this is going to be recognition and processing information very quickly in the system. And I think Harrison Bailey might be able to do that. Now, I think long-term, Kadon Salter, a true freshman, could end up winning the job before the season's over. I think he's so good athletically. But I kind of like Harrison Bailey to start. Everybody talks about Dan Mullen of Florida's offense. He likes a running quarterback. But who's the most productive quarterback he's ever had? It was Kyle Trask, who who runs like a big plodding 250-pound man. He can adjust his offense, adapt it to whoever the quarterback is. And Heupel said he can do the same thing. Most coaches can. And one thing to remember about Bailey last year, he's not a running quarterback. He's not that good of a runner, but he doesn't hesitate to run. And he made some nice gains last season when he played. When he sees there's an opening and that's the best decision, he takes it. So I'm going to go with Harrison Bailey.
Yeah, my concern with Bailey isn't so much his running ability or lack thereof. I would say long term, he doesn't have a really big arm, I don't think. He did seem to read the field pretty well, I thought, at times last year, was fairly accurate. And Heupel can certainly do a lot of the quick stuff on his RPO up-tempo game, but typically his quarterbacks have been guys that can stretch the field as well. But I don't necessarily disagree with you that Harrison Bailey has a decent shot to start the season opener. And in fact, I'm going to tell you who I think later, John, but I was thinking kind of in the mind of Vegas odds, I mm-hmm. guess. And so I came up with some Vegas odds here, and you can tell me what you think of them and maybe how you would adjust them. So okay. I'm actually saying if Vegas was to handicap this competition, I think Vegas might go with Hendon Hooker, the graduate transfer 15-game career starter from Virginia Tech, as the favorite in this competition. And so I'm going to give Hendon Hooker odds of 2.5 to 1. Mm-hmm. I would make him the betting favorite. Close behind him, I would have Harrison Bailey, 3 to 1 mm-hmm. odds to be the season opening starter. Behind him, I would put Caden Salter, the freshman, 4-star incomer, at 4 to 1. Mm-hmm. And then Brian Maurer, the third year returner, who had some starting experience in 2019, but slipped down the depth chart and was in purely a backup role last season. I've got him at 8 to 1 as sort of the long shot in this competition. What do you think about that?
Okay, well, I was fooling around with some odds myself because okay. I've made a few bets in my lifetime, Blake.
Mm-hmm.
Enhanced my bank account, I might add.
All through BetMGM, correct?
Oh, well, that goes without saying. They're the best in the business. Sometimes they're a little slower to get the information out, but if you're patient, patience will be rewarded week in and week out. We've both seen that. Don't they sponsor this podcast?
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But that has nothing to do with why I was saying.
No. Yeah, your thoughts are entirely independent there.
Oh, yeah. It goes without saying. Yeah, I would probably have Harrison Bailey at 2 to 1. We agree on Caden Salter at 3 to 1.
I had him at 4 to 1, but fair enough.
Like I said, we don't agree on either one of those guys. And then we'll have at 4 to 1, Hendon Hooker, and I would say 25 to 1, Brian Maurer.
Okay.
And that's not a reflection on Maurer. Just don't know that this offense is best suited for him. He is a good runner, though.
Yeah, I think Maurer is probably better suited for this offense than he was in Jim Chaney's offense. But, I mean, I agree that he's a long shot nonetheless. It's just I wasn't going to be quite so generous for the betters.
Well, maybe I'll cut that down to 12.5 to 1. Here's the thing, though, Blake. If you really saw potential and they saw any potential in Maurer, would they have taken Hooker as a transfer? I thought that was somewhat revealing. Maybe they would.
Well, but that was the previous coaching staff that took Hooker, so that was a reflection of what the previous staff thought.
Even that staff, though, do you think they knew the other two guys were leaving?
I think that was in the wake of JT Schrout and Garantano leaving and wanted to add another face into the competition there.
Well, I wasn't assuming that they knew those guys were leaving because they did miss out. They missed a lot of stuff. So I was thinking maybe they didn't even know those guys were leaving.
Oh, okay. Well, I think it's interesting, John, that you got Hendon Hooker third in your odds. I got him. I would have him as the favorite. Why do you feel like he's not as high on the list as Harrison Bailey or Salter? Because I have some thoughts about that as well, but I'm curious to see where you stand on that.
I didn't watch much of Virginia Tech. The thing with me with Virginia Tech, they've had coaching changes. They went from Beamer to Justin Fuente. but I always feel like I'm watching the same team when Virginia Tech's playing. I don't know. Maybe it's the uniforms or something, but the quarterbacks are always runners. There have been a couple of exceptions that, what was the guy's name? Logan something.
Don't remember him.
You don't remember, and you don't care either for this podcast. But anyway, yeah, I think of him as a runner. So I really don't have a lot of factual basis for that. It's just a gut feeling. And as Dave Hart said in hiring Butch Jones, it was a gut feeling. I hear that a lot on hires. So I'm making my quarterback decision, making my odds based on a gut feeling. They probably do that in Vegas some.
Sure. I'm just now getting your joke, John. I was trying to think, like, why did you think that the staff didn't realize that Jarrett Garantano and JT Shrout transferred? But it's a joke now that they missed. Yeah, that staff seemed to have missed and overlooked a lot of things. Okay, I apologize. Hey, normally I connect with, you know, we're clicking on stuff like that, but that one just went right over my head. I'm like, how did John not remember that these guys transferred? I mean,
well, it was pretty subtle on my part, but yeah, I could see the coaches sitting around and one of them say, well, you know, how do we want to start out with the depth chart? I mean, where do we put Garantano in the depth chart? And then somebody else said, coach, he's gone.
Too busy working the recruiting angles, I guess, and to notice. John, with Hendon Hooker, even though I list him as the mythical Vegas favorite, I actually think that he has some things working against him in this quarterback competition because of the new staff. I think you get one shot, you get one honeymoon year in your first season to take some risks. I got one season here where without the pressure on me, I'm going to go with a young guy, whether it be Harrison Bailey, Salter, you know, one of those two guys. Whereas I think if you're Jeremy Pruitt, if he would have been retained, he's coming in, would have been coming into a fourth season. It would have been a make or break year, really, for Pruitt had he been retained. I think in that scenario, you might have a tendency to go, I want to go with the veteran. I'm going with the guy with 15 career starts, the guy who's done it before at this level. One, you know, Virginia Tech wasn't a dominant program while Hendon Hooker was there, but was okay. You know, he's won some games. I'm going with the veteran. And I actually look back on Jeremy Pruitt's first season in 2018 and think we saw that play out a little bit, because that was the year you had Keller Chris coming in as the grad transfer from Stanford, had been a starter there, lost the job, but had won a lot of games at Stanford. I think if that wasn't Jeremy Pruitt's first season, you might have seen Keller Chris get more of a chance to be the quarterback at Tennessee. But Pruitt was in year one. He had this sophomore quarterback who'd been a part-time starter as a redshirt freshman, and Jarrett Garantano. Garantano was the future. And so he went with the younger guy in year one, knowing that there's not a ton of pressure on a coach in year one. You can afford to go with the young guy and see what happens. And so I think in that case, that works against Hendon Hooker a little bit, in that he does have a coach who wasn't the coach he signed on with. You know, Pruitt was here when Hooker signed on, and now you got a coach who I think maybe could tend to favor going with a younger quarterback here in his honeymoon season.
Well, I don't know if Pruitt ever thought that much about quarterbacks. You might be overthinking that. However, when I look at one of the things that impresses me, I mean, you put one guy as a favorite. I've got him third on my depth chart, and we're both very astute judges of college football talent. So. Mm-hmm. Aren't we, or am I?
Well, the previous coach here questioned how much I knew about football, but which is fair. You know, I majored in journalism in college, not football, but the previous coach also went 16-19, and it was his job to coach football. So how good was he really either?
Yeah. I mean, what does coaching have to do with judging talent? That's, you got to look at that fact. I really think Tennessee is in unusually good shape at the game's most important position. When you look at how slow players were developed under Pruitt and his staff in the 3 years here at quarterback, when you look at all the losing, when you look at a 3-7 season, the coach getting fired, and I still think Tennessee's in really good shape considering all that. I mean, we've talked about three guys, basically. We're kind of saying any one of three guys could win this job. I don't think most schools have that. And it's not necessarily because they're so good at quarterback. If you look around the division, I'm not sold on South Carolina's quarterbacking, not sold on Kentucky's quarterbacking. Vanderbilt's guy had a good freshman year, Seals, but Missouri is pretty solid there. But I just think Tennessee's in pretty good shape considering the circumstances.
I agree, John. You know how much I respect the opinion of the folks in my text group, which, by the way, that text group is just exploding. If you want to get in, you better get in now, because at some point it's going to hit max capacity. But anyway, I put a poll question out to the text group recently and asked them what excited them most about Josh Heupel. I only let them pick one thing, and I gave about a half dozen options. And, of course, you had some fans telling me that this is a stupid question. Nothing excites me about Josh Heupel. Well, okay, fair enough. But putting those negative thoughts aside, most people did vote in the poll. Among the six choices I offered was quarterback development and offensive scheme. I separated those out as two different choices because I knew if I lumped them together, that would be the clear winner. But as it turned out, 46% of the Vols fans who voted in my poll said that they are most excited about Josh Heupel's offensive scheme. 33.5% said his quarterback development. So, you know, add them together, and nearly 80% of the respondents of the six options I gave are either most excited about Heupel's scheme or his track record for quarterback development. I think they, to some extent, go a little bit hand in hand, and I think that's what there is to be, you know, excited in year one about Josh Heupel. Not that, you know, he can't do some other good things and he can't be successful in other areas, and we'll see, you know, just how good this staff is. But I do think that if you're looking for something to change from the final season of Jeremy Pruitt to the first year of Josh Heupel, I think it's fair to expect this offense to be a lot more interesting, you know, than it was not just last season under Jeremy Pruitt, but really throughout all three seasons. You know, Tennessee's offense was among the worst in the conference. And I think even in year one under Heupel, I think it's fair to expect, you know, Tennessee to move up at least to middle of the pack in the offensive ranks in the SEC.
To that, Tennessee fans are saying, thank the Lord. I mean, it's been hard watching Tennessee's offense. I mean, there are other programs that aren't winning out there in college football, but some of them are kind of fun to watch. They throw the ball around. They score some points. You don't get that with Tennessee. So not only has Tennessee had a losing program, it's had a program that doesn't entertain. So I think that is a good sign for Tennessee fans. I'd like to ask, since you did that with your text group, I have a really bunch of elite writers that email me regularly, and I run email columns. I mean, these people are professional writers. All of them. And I was wondering, would you mind if I borrowed the same talk and just threw that question out to them? Or would you feel like I'm stealing your idea? Or how would you look at that?
You can steal it, John. I'll give you the six things that I allowed fans to vote on. They can only vote for one. Quarterback development was one choice. Offensive scheme was another. And as I mentioned, those two categories ran away with the poll. But choice number three was the coaching staff that Josh Heupel has assembled. Choice number four was his recruiting background, his recruiting track record, which, interestingly, and this didn't come as really any big surprise, I had like 230 people vote in the poll, and only one person said they were most excited about Josh Heupel's recruiting, which I think makes sense. You know, Heupel's track record as a recruiter is not overwhelming. Choice number five was his playing/coaching experience and his results as a player and coach. That got 10.5% of the votes. So I think, you know, people probably looked at his track record and overall were liking what they saw there, at least the ones that voted in that category. And then choice number six was his character and or personality. And that got 5% of the votes. I mean, personality, he's not the most vibrant guy, but he has not been recorded as committing any malfeasance in his past. So that's maybe a leg up over his predecessor here at Tennessee.
Well, I'll do my poll a little differently.
Okay.
And you know, I think the world of your group. I've commented on it many times, but as I said, I'm dealing with elite writers and deep thinkers in my group. And honestly, you guys are playing checkers and we're playing chess. I won't give them options as what to pick. You just let them do it. You do the multiple choice and we'll do the essay, okay?
Okay. That's fair enough. You got the five paragraph essay crowd. John, you know, beyond the quarterback competition and really just the change to the new staff, and what are some things that you're sort of curious about to see how they unfold this spring? I mean, not necessarily going out there and watching guys knock skulls for 2 hours, because I don't think we'll be allowed to do that. And I'm not sure if we want to do that anyway. As much as we enjoy football, you know, going out there and watching practice day after day doesn't really light me ablaze. But beyond just standing there and watching practice, what are you curious to see, you know, how it develops this first spring of the Heupel era?
I guess I'm really curious. I know it. We're repeating ourselves here, but it all seems to come back to offense with this guy. I'm kind of just looking to see how this offense functions with the receivers and the quarterbacks, because it's all new, and how fast they pick it up. Because how fast they pick it up might give you a hint as to how well it will function this fall. Because again, this is about, you got to be sharp to run this offense. You got to make decisions on the fly. You got to process information very quickly, make reads very quickly. So that's what I would be most curious about. That, and also how much access the media will have.
Yeah, and it will be interesting to see if they open up practice or not. Of course, you know, they have the pandemic, I guess, to fall behind there too. But I don't think, you know, a handful of media guys standing on the sidelines is probably a huge danger in the pandemic. But I'm not a medical expert, John, so probably shouldn't be airing my thoughts there. But I don't know that me standing on the sideline is going to be dangerous to the starting quarterback 40 yards away. But one never knows, I guess.
Well, I do fancy myself as somewhat of a medical expert. I do a lot of reading. I have a lot of doctor friends, and I've had a lot of medical conditions, some strange issues, in fact. So, I don't think that will harm you at all. I think you'd be safe to stand out there.
Oh, I don't think they would care about me at all. I was more saying, would it harm the players? They could care less about whether I get harmed, probably.
Well, they don't want you around your players, whether there's a pandemic or not.
Exactly. John, you mentioned your expertise. If fans think that we're experts or even somewhat close to it, or really even not experts at all, I'd hope they would give us a good rating on this podcast. As I've mentioned before on this podcast, our regular listeners know this. We appreciate the positive ratings, and those ratings aren't just for our own ego. The more ratings our podcast gets, it helps us get in front of more listeners, helps us keep doing this podcast, which John and I both adore. John, you mentioned some things you're looking for in spring, really wrapped up in the offense. I don't totally disagree with that, and I would add into that, both of us have been pounding the hype drum, not hypel drum, but just H-Y-P-E drum, for Tyon Evans, the junior college running back transfer that Tennessee added in the December signing period, stuck around even after the coaching change. I know we both really like his highlight film. And what he did is at his junior college out there in Kansas. I think he's got a shot to be the top running back on the depth chart this season. So I'm really curious to see if our expectations for him match reality this spring. And then I'll give another one from the defensive side of the ball. I'm very curious about Tennessee's linebacker position. I mean, after the departures of Henry Toa and Kavaris Crouch, now neither one of them have declared a transfer destination yet, but in listening to the defensive coaches do their first interview session earlier this week, you know, multiple assistants mentioned that, you know, while they would like to have those guys in the fold, talented players, they don't consider them to be a part of the program right now, and they're focused on the guys they have. And it sounded like coaches to me that are sort of moving on past those guys and not really expecting them to be part of the program in 2021. And so you take Toa and Crouch out of the mix there at linebacker. I mean, talk about offensive schemes, defensive schemes. Who are you going to put in the middle of that defense? Maybe they ought to go with like a 5-6 scheme. Just no linebackers. 5 down linemen, 6 defensive backs. Just they don't have any proven linebackers. Not sure they have any good linebackers. So just don't even put any out there. Just 5 linemen. throw some defensive backs out there and just hope that that middle layer of the defense, it really doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, you're supposed to put the best players on the field. That's what coaches always say. We want to get our best 11 out there.
That's
they
right.
They all happen 11. To be DBs. You just go with it. Getting back to Quaveris Crouch, I think he will go down as the best Tennessee running back we really never saw. We saw him in a couple of short yardage plays, but I thought he had great potential as a college running back in high school, and he wanted to play defense, and he played it. I think he'd have been a better running back.
Well, maybe we'll see that at his next institution. Maybe he'll switch over to the offensive side of the ball. But if he wanted to play running back, I think he would have been better off sticking around at Tennessee. I mean, it's sort of an open competition there. I mean, Jabari Small returned, and we both like, as I mentioned, the junior college transfer Evans. But then again, as a Crouch would probably be a power back, and I'm not sure. I think Evans probably can fit that bill, although he's got some speed and some moves too. But Crouch still might be better off going elsewhere to a system that prefers a little bit more of the ground and pound than what Josh Heupel does on offense.
Well, maybe you move over to Alabama. I tell you what, though, Oklahoma, you think of them wanting those quick cutback runners in their offense, but they've had power backs.
Mm-hmm.
They've had
That's
several power backs. Ramondre Stevens was one of the best in the country. I could see him filling that role, and there seems to be a migration going on from Tennessee to Oklahoma. It's like they need to have a flight that goes from Tyson McGee Airport there to Oklahoma City and then rent a car and drive to Norman.
John, we started with quarterbacks. I went in with quarterbacks. Hey, we set odds and discussed our favorites for starting the season opener. But overall, how many quarterbacks would you guess that Tennessee will start at least one game in the 2021 season? We've talked about the four-man competition, four scholarship options to choose from, but how many of them do you think will start at least a game this season? And let's remember that in 2019 with Jeremy Pruitt, Tennessee started four different guys at quarterback. Now, one of them was Juwan Jennings in a Wildcat formation, took the first snap of a game, but four different guys started for Tennessee in 19. So that's sort of the high bar, I think. But how many guys will start for Tennessee in 2021?
Well, since you mentioned Juwan Jennings, then I'll go with three because I think they'll put our guy, Tyon Evans, back in there and let him line up in the shotgun. I didn't see him throw it on the videos, but as good of an athlete as he can probably chunk it downfield too. So,
all right, sounds good, John. I think Tyon Evans might join in the sponsorship maybe of this podcast. We've done enough promoting of him, but we'll get a look at him and get a look of the quarterback competition here in a couple weeks. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Volunteer State.